Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Adam Gill, the CRM manager at Total Jobs Group, and also the founder of Sirius.Red. For me, obviously, just being a big content guy, anyone who's kind of willing to put their neck on the line and actually put some thoughts out there, more power to them. I think I encourage everyone to do it to some extent. But you know, for you, was it always something you had in mind, or was it just kind of, how did it start for you, you know, starting the blog? Were you encouraged to do it by people, or did you just kind of think, all right, let's get on with it?
It was probably the second one. So I definitely think it was, let's just try it and get on with it. I know for me, I've never thought of myself as a very articulate person. So I was kind of used it in the back of my mind. It was always something to try and refine my thoughts and actually put something out there publicly. But it's also quite terrifying, especially to start off with the actual fear that no one's going to read it or no one's going to like the content. It's definitely one thing that took me by surprise. I always never thought of that. I thought of the technical side of things. I never thought of, obviously the emotional side of, oh, people are actually going to read this. How are they going to judge it? It was always quite interesting. But it's 3 months in now, and definitely, I think I'm starting to find my feet with it a bit.
From a technical perspective, it probably helps on the creativity or problem solving, you know, to just have that kind of time away from kind of the doing part of work to actually, you know, actually sit there and think about things. It's very difficult. I mean, for me, like, if I ever have to work on projects or put together, you know, presentations or proposals or strategies, whatever, like, I struggle to do it in the office, actually, because you just spend your whole time just executing on things.
Yeah, sometimes you just get chained to the desk, don't you? So it is good to step back. And I know, like, personally, some of the stuff I'm sharing on the blog at the moment is very much topical for what I'm doing sort of day to day, but obviously trying to anonymize it and put it in my own words, etc. But I'm also trying to realize that I don't know everything, but at the same time, there's also a lot of people that in the community that potentially don't have the same sort of experience or opportunity to do what I'm doing day to day. And that's probably another reason I kind of started it. I've had a variety of experience over industries, very much all Salesforce for the last like seven or 8 years, I think. But I've worked from, finance through to now online media, and all those sort of different industries try and solve problems very similarly, but obviously trying to obviously make it relevant for that actual industry and what the sales process or the service process actually is. And then being able to obviously try and articulate that, but bring it up a level, as I said, sort of definitely brings in that sort of creativity, because you have to try and tell a story. Because if you're just writing step by step, this is what I've got, I don't think a lot of people will probably come along for that journey.
And like you say, I think a lot of technical people probably, and I suppose I'm generalizing here, so I do apologize, but probably don't consider themselves to be, like, say, articulate. They're kind of very, very much hands-on technical people. So, you know, the people to have that articulated from a technical person's perspective is probably, you know, going to be really valuable to some people. So,
I always thought as well that, like being able to actually understand something takes more than just you reading a page or talking to someone, if you actually understand something, you should be able to sort of decompose it, reestablish it, and then actually make sense of it and tell a different story. So if it kind of mean that, yeah, you're not just parroting what someone else tells you, your understanding, well, I've always found personally anyway, that my understanding is sort of reached on a certain topic once I can actually articulate or train someone else on how to do it without just, yes, this is the step, this is the step, this is the step. I suppose it's tied down to that sort of engagement and trying to, yeah, bring people along. My job very much at the moment is very stakeholder driven. So that's a very big part for me, is trying to play the borderline, I suppose, between the technical but also the personable.
And it must help, like I was actually just thinking then, like, you know, from a, like say that management perspective, it probably gives you new ideas about how to handle situations when you're kind of, you know, writing stuff up yourself. Do you ever kind of, have you done that yet, where you kind of been writing things and thinking, actually, you know what, that is, why don't I kind of look at doing that with the team and handling that from a management perspective? Does it give you ideas from a management perspective? Because I think people always need creative ways and from a management standpoint to kind of try and engage or get things done or get through to people, whatever the desired outcome is. Maybe this is a good practice to try and help that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I know, like, Salesforce, in my head, I think I know Salesforce quite well. But at the same time, like, I learn every day new things from my own team as well. So definitely being able to take that lesson learned and sort of articulate and put that out, yeah, and so try and tell a story about it. I definitely think that helps me as a manager, and actually helps me sort of obviously engage and keep that culture of learning going within my team as well. I would definitely try and keep it on a very collaborative sort of, I suppose, scale with my team. That's definitely a two-way street. And I think actually putting something out there in the form of like a blog and that, actually it's like that feedback loop. It definitely helps sort of feed back into that sort of whole process.
Do you take kind of inspiration from people on your team and kind of think about that and you know, consider writing about stuff like that?
Definitely. The internal, like, stakeholders I work with. So the one thing I always try and it's interesting because I never really thought this way up until I started actually trying to put things out on this blog. I never actually thought of, oh, okay, why are they asking this question? And then how can I actually potentially use that? Like, is that interesting? Would other people have that problem? I think before I actually started writing and actually putting things out on the website, it was very much, why are they asking the problem? Let's solve the problem. But yeah, it definitely has sort of broadened my horizon now of, well, if they're asking this problem, and I suppose that sort of gets to the external part, I wonder if other people are having that problem elsewhere. Salesforce is quite a big platform, and yeah, no doubt people will be asking the same problem or having the same challenges. And I try and balance it out between quite technical stuff on the website, but also then through to some of the more conceptual stuff. So like project management or data migration and the fun stuff.
I wanted to, you know, ask as well about the external things, but before we kind of external influences and kind of how you approach that and kind of staying out of the bubble, so to speak, certainly from kind of managing a team. But, you know, what was that initial transition like for you? I know for technical people, kind of, it sometimes seems like an inevitable path, but one that you don't necessarily want to take, that kind of transition into a management position. You know, what did that transition look like for you? You know, was it kind of a smooth transition, or was it something that you, you know, might have resisted for a while?
I think definitely resisted the path to management. that's very safe to say. When I first started, I suppose, on the management and leadership side, it was a very different role. I mentioned before I sort of worked at, like, in a finance industry. I was working for one of the largest insurers in Australia, and I was actually in, like, the call center. So I was definitely more of, like, a sales role, customer support, And that was my first pathway, I suppose, or step up into management as a team leader in that sort of scenario. And I was in my early 20s, so I had no idea what I was doing. And at that age, you obviously think everyone else knows what they're doing. But that's one of the things that a lot of managers probably don't let on, but obviously they're just trying to make do with the best practice or other things that they've heard and put it all and piece it together. But I think it was uncomfortable to start off with, and that's why I say I probably resisted it, because I wasn't used to, I suppose, being that authority or being the go-to person if someone had a HR problem or something like that, especially when you're coming off a telephone where you're selling insurance every day. It's quite a different shift in mindset to then have to, resource plan, et cetera. So I actually remembered after that secondment trying to find a sort of more front-facing role again that wasn't a team leader position. So that was my resistance, is actually trying to find a different position that I suppose catered to my skills, but I didn't actually have people accountable for. But as time's gone on, I actually became a manager again in a different department, but a bit more specialized. So rather than a generalist team, the guys are quite specialist in what they did. So that actually showed me a very different side of what management can be, because rather than just dealing with a lot of the sort of general issues, it actually was a bit more targeted. So it was actually a bit more about the people, if that makes sense, rather than I didn't like my timesheets completed, etc. And I know those two are sort of connected, but for me, I felt a bit more comfortable the second time around. But that's about the time that I also then started to stumble into, I suppose, a bit more of a technical role. So that's when I first started using Salesforce in that position. We're trying to roll it out to the team. And at that point in time, it was just maternity cover. So I didn't quite know which direction I was going to go. Was I going to stay management? Was I going to be a bit more technical? And at that point, I think I kind of made the decision that that there was we called it an e-business role, which was once again sort of a specialist thing, but it was actually helping our external partners at the time use the internal technical system, so almost like a help desk. And I think that was the transitory role for me, where I really stepped from going more sales and customer service, I guess, into a more technical position. And that's when I was sitting opposite the Salesforce administrator. So he was like, I need skills. I need the way that you, because I was doing Visual Basic at the time, fun scripting language, that is. And he was like, I need that. I need that spreadsheet that you're doing. I need that macro. Come into my team, basically. And that's when I sort of made the decision to, all right, this has got a different feel to it. It wasn't a management position per se, but it was very much a role where I was dealing with senior stakeholders on a very personal basis. So I was having to sit in with the CEO. We're talking about rolling out Salesforce. There was a collaboration tool called Chatter. We're talking about how we can actually get salespeople using it and collaborating across different departments. And that was my first, I suppose, big project. Was actually the collaboration project and getting people on iPads and out into field sales, etc. So it was one of those roles that I kind of fell into, but at the same time, I think I found my niche, if that makes sense. It's that hybrid role.
But yeah, it's interesting. And you know, when you look now, what's the kind of current management situation for you? Is it hands on more with people? And I suppose the reason why I ask is that, you know, that level of honesty that you have to have with people as a manager is so important to get back from them as well, their level of honesty, so you can kind of optimize their performance and find them the right place. It's not always kind of drilling them into something that might not necessarily be all there for them, or you know, I'm just talking out loud here, I suppose, but you know, how do you kind of approach things, you know, based on your experiences now, when you look at people and obviously continuing to kind of optimize the team?
Yeah, I mean, communication is definitely the key when it comes to trying to obviously have those discussions. Like I'm quite a candid person anyway, but I've especially when I first stepped into the role I'm in now, coming back into like another sort of management position, I did spend a lot of time getting to know the people. Obviously, it makes things a lot more easier if you can sort of understand and empathize with their point of view. But also being able to have that personal relationship to actually then be able to say, actually, no, hang on, we need to go this direction. This is how we get there. I know everyone's got their different leadership styles, but I definitely feel that, like, as I've matured as a person as well, my leadership style's probably become a lot more comfortable and a bit more relaxed from the sort of white-knuckled first instance when I was in the call center of, oh, my God, we don't have enough people on the phones, to actually now I can spend time developing my team. And that's that sort of two-way street, I guess, is they see you putting time in them, and then likewise they will help support, deliver the goals that you actually need to. So it doesn't always work in every situation, but I'm very fortunate in the position I'm in now to actually have that sort of team and that ability to be able to have that more collaborative style where I can actually delegate something to them, obviously walk them through how to do it, and then actually hopefully deliver. If not, we'll have a conversation and find out, all right, what could we do better next time? I've always tried to take that focus of what could we do better next time rather than, all right, well, this is what went wrong last time. I know that's not really much of a distinction, but that's kind of, I suppose, the way I've kind of looked at it.
No, it is. And, you know, when I kind of look back on the most successes that I've had, you know, the team dynamics were really the thing that ultimately I felt, and not just I felt, but I think the proof is in the pudding, were the startups that made it. You know, I look at my own projects, the internal dynamics, whether it was correct, they were the projects that were the most successful. So, like you say, that kind of line of communication and, you know, getting people feeling comfortable and on it and being able to be honest, I think is such like an underrated thing to be able to instill in people, because, you know, if they don't feel comfortable to be honest about things, then, you know, they literally go through months of like, you lose productivity and all the kind of rest of it. So, it's quite a skill, and it's almost like a different job, isn't it? I bet when you kind of started it, you literally felt like a different job.
Definitely. I know once I've actually, because once again, like my current role, I guess I've had a bit more autonomy where I can actually have the conversations I want with my team, compared to previous management roles. I think when I first started out being call center, it was very, I don't know the word, like autocratic. So you have to do this, it has to get done. It has, like, there wasn't a lot of freedom to be creative or actually try different types of communication skills. It was very much, this needs to be done, do it. But I definitely think it comes back to, well, you need to be able to create that environment. And if something does go wrong, sometimes as a manager, I suppose you do need to be able to filter things from both your team, but also from others within the business. And what I mean by that is if something goes wrong, sometimes as a manager, you have to put your hand up for your team and obviously, yep, that was us. But then sometimes you have to shield your team a little bit, because if they get the full brunt of, they need to understand the consequence, but you can phrase it in a different way that actually is a learning experience rather than just a, oh, you stuff this up, okay, like we're all doomed type thing. And I think that's kind of where the leadership styles of different people come into those sort of situations, definitely. I don't know if that made sense, but
no, it does totally. And it's almost like being agile, isn't it? I suppose, you know, if you're familiar, it's like an agile, like, for lack of a better term, leadership way of doing things. And you know, I think even more paramount in technology as well. I mean, you know, obviously you kind of work in more niche on the Salesforce side, but you know, how kind of much of a willing to learn and continually kind of reskill do you have now? And how quickly are things changing? You know, do you have to have that innate characteristic to willingness to continually improve and learn, do you think, to kind of do what you do well?
I personally, I think so. It's one thing I've also tried to instill in my team as well, is a sense of curiosity. I know personally I'm a very curious person. I'll always question why. I know there's different like project philosophies or like understanding things of like the five whys. So you ask why five times to really try and find out what the problem is. I very much sort of subscribe to let's dig deep. Let's not just react. Let's try and find what's happening. And that agile methodology, I think, definitely helps. So I suppose if you think of coaching kind of like the retrospectives where at the end of it, you always have that honest analysis, but it doesn't have to be everyone sitting in the room and someone lecturing it. It can be a dialogue both ways. And then to sort of bring back to the point of always constantly learning, I think the honesty with when combined with like the curiosity hopefully leads to I need to learn more, I need to find resources. Salesforce is a niche, but it's got a very active community, and there's a lot of support out there. So if you don't know something, hopefully you can find it on forums or through the different sort of training materials that Salesforce now publish. So I think if you lay the basis and try and build the foundation around getting your team curious about why something's happening rather than them just following orders, I don't know, for me that personally seems to have resonated with the team, and then that's also helped deliver the results that we're delivering at the moment, I feel.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I agree. It's always made sense. I think that the term agile, I think, was coined relatively recently, but I think it's always kind of made sense to work that way as soon as we've been able to. You know, was it something that you know, I always ask this actually just out of curiosity, but was it something that a way of thinking that you always had before the term was coined, or was it just something, or was it kind of, you know, something that you kind of learned as you progressed in it, kind of that? And was it like yeah, this makes more sense?
I think, I've definitely, like, the curiosity side within me personally has always been there. Like, as a kid, I was fortunate enough, my mother's a marine biologist, so I was always out in the field with her, like doing random studies and helping with samples, etc. So, I mean, for me, it was always fostered very early on. But I think the way that the tech sort of movement towards agile, I mean, personally, I feel it has a quite a comfortable transition. So compared to like the old sort of waterfall, etc. methodologies, I found it very easy sort of to adapt to agile, I think, because of having that basis. But I suppose it's like any change, isn't it? Everyone, you don't need to have that sort of basis of curiosity. You just need to be able to adapt and find out how, like where you are. Like you talk about change cycles and all that sort of thing, but change impacts everyone slightly differently. So it's just actually being honest about that. And then, all right, let's move on and find out how to actually make the best of the situation. And I think with Agile, I think a lot of businesses are definitely starting to see, or have been seeing now for a while, the values that it can add compared to Waterfall. And once again, it feels a lot more collaborative when you're doing things in a more sort of Agile fashion. Because obviously you've got shorter feedback loops, etc. So you're always involved with the stakeholders.
One thing I'd be interested in is, you know, technology-wise, I suppose, first of all, do you consider yourself sort of a technologist? And second, you know, when you look at what's out there technology-wise, I would assume for you it'd be kind of the things that are going on in data at the moment. But, you know, what technologies at the moment that are kind of coming to light, are you kind of most excited to see, you know, both from, and it can be from like a personal standpoint or, you know, an application to work standpoint, but what for you is kind of the most compelling thing that's happening in tech at the moment?
Sure. So I do classify myself as a bit of a geek. So even though I'm kind of in the, like a sales operations, probably more sales support type role at the moment, I do spend a lot of time with our development teams. I work very closely with the Scrum team, so we work with Agile here. I've had to try and keep up to date with the sort of future technology that we can do. Because, I mean, Salesforce is an ever-expanding platform, but you can plug so much into Salesforce. So if you've got a business problem, there's so much you can do for integration-wise. So I definitely consider myself as a bit of a geek when it comes to that. And some of the stuff that I'm kind of looking forward to, I know, getting my hands on. I don't know how. I haven't really built any use cases for et cetera yet, but I think it's sort of shared across a few of your other podcasts as well, is that the future of AI and how that can actually enable businesses. I find that really fascinating. I know Salesforce is starting to make a big play towards that. So a lot of other CRM and like the enterprise sort of platforms like Oracle, et cetera, they're all starting to make their move in that field. And another one, the Internet of Things, kind of feels like one of those catchphrases that hasn't quite got there yet. And you always see like the big keynotes for the big platforms, and this is how we're going to solve the problems of the future. But I think the combination of AI and potentially the Internet of Things, I know it's one thing that just really fascinates me because, the AI, for example, could help empower and actually save people a lot of time from a sales point of view, for example, actually being able to find what leads I should be sourcing, where I should be going, have I contacted this person enough, or I've seen some really interesting things around AI and being able to like summarize text. So being able to read like an email, summarize what that email is, so that way you can actually decide, all right, do I need to respond and look at that urgently, or is it something that could wait a bit? So all that sort of, I suppose for me, it fits under that work smarter, not harder category. Always a big proponent for that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, believe me. I agree. I think it's, for me, that's where the interesting things are going on at the moment. I had a guy who owns a blockchain company on as well, quite recently. And that was really interesting as well. The potential of that kind of space paired with kind of AI and IoT is I think certainly is where the interesting stuff's going on at the moment. It will be interesting, and like I say, I'm always game for anything that helps me work less hard and yet still stay productive, so bring it on.
Yeah, definitely. can't agree with that more.
All right, Adam. I enjoyed it, mate. I hope you did too. We'll leave it there. We'll talk again soon, mate. But yeah, thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud. Or check out the website, venturi-group.com. And keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.